Let's look at our scripture this morning. I'm calling it Free at Last. Free at Last. Great God Almighty, we are free at last. Some of you have heard that before. And I'm going to be preaching from that. But the text I'm going to be using is John chapter 8, verse 32 through 47. And I want you, because my Bible's smaller print, I'm going to be reading it from my script here because it's larger. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. You are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, that it is heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come from him, and I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of liars. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Let us pray. Father, we pray and ask that this word might become flesh to our hearts, that it might go from our head 1 foot down to our hearts and touch our hearts and recreate who we are this morning. Give us new knowledge and wisdom, and that the truth might set us all free this morning. I pray for Juan and Christine as they travel to Europe, that you might anoint them and keep them safe as they travel, and that your blessings might be on their trip. And it's in the name of Jesus that we do pray. Amen. Free at last. There was a song, and the name was Free at Last. It was written by a slave many years ago, and it went this way. Of course, most of you have heard it used by Martin Luther King in one of his speeches, but it goes, free at last, I thank God I'm free at last. Free at last, I thank God I'm free at last. Way down yonder in the graveyard walk, I thank God I'm free at last. Me and my Jesus gonna meet and talk, I thank God I'm free at last. On my knees when the light passed by, I thank God I'm free at last. Thought my soul would rise and fly, I thank God I'm free at last. Some of these mornings bright and fair, I thank God I'm free at last. Gonna meet King Jesus in the air, I thank God I'm free at last. Now, I know that many people think they understand the meaning of that, but I don't know that they do. You see, I believe that this was written in the times a man was a slave, and yet he was saying he was free. He was saying, the shackles that I have on my hands do not bind my heart, and I am a free man. As a matter of fact, I think this freedom can supersede all of life's circumstances that you find yourself in. I want to talk to you about freedom, where it comes from, and how you can have it. But first, let me speak of the measure and breadth of this freedom for us today. For the one who wrote this song spoke of a freedom that carried him into joy in spite of his desperate and dastardly position that he lived in. A freedom which can be for any man, no matter what their circumstances. A freedom which cannot be taken away by any man or circumstance. A freedom that is eternal, a freedom of the very man himself. Freedom from my lifestyle, my past, my personal prisons, my limitations, my heritage, my prejudices, my fears, my visions, my dreams, my sins, my loneliness, my hurt, my future, my darkness, my losses, my addictions, my frailness, and my religion. And yes, I said religion. For you see, freedom spoken of by Jesus in John 8:32 is truth that supersedes religion. And it was opposed by the religious of the day. Those people who were, we just read about, who were agitated to the point they were ready to kill Jesus, were the religious of the community. They were the highly pious in the community. And yet they were ready to kill Jesus. This freedom sets us free to become righteous outside of our religion. For you see, I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. Most of us create our own religions. Man creates his religion, his way to God, his practices that he participates in. And we have visitors here this morning. People look for churches that meet their religious needs. Hopefully there are those that are looking for a church that meets my spiritual needs, that causes me to meet Jesus, that causes me to walk into the presence of God. And I would say to each one of you, many times religion keeps us from that. Because what religion does is it says, I have limits. God has no limits. God makes us limitless. You see, this freedom sets us free from the holy aspects of outside religious practices, from becoming, it helps us become joyous. It helps us become prosperous and healthy. It helps us guarantee our salvation. It guarantees heaven in the next life. It guarantees the presence of the Lord. We shall never be alone. And it promises the impossible to become possible. If I had to say there was one thing that really I struggle with as a pastor, and I'm just going to be honest. I sort of am most of the time, but, and that is this. Whenever a pastor looks at somebody and says, what you ought to do is so and so, a lot of times we'll say, but that's not me. Or God looks at you and says, I want you to do so and so. The person says, that's not me. For you see, this is who I am, and this is what I do in regards to you. So I'm going to tell you what I will do and what I will not do. You see, most of us, and I put myself in the same basket, most of us limit God with what he could do with us. There is a danger. The truth with which Jesus spoke, most people miss. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free free from some things and free to do some things. And first of all, I want you to know that these miracles, that this freedom is boundless. And I don't care what you're shackled with this morning or what you've been shackled with your whole life. There's some who walk around with guilt their whole life, and it goes back to their childhood. And they never can really take a step for God because they're always stepping in the shoes of guilt. There are others that cannot be forgiven. They can't forgive themselves. They can't let God forgive them. There are others who just can't get victory over an addiction. And it might not be to drugs, but it might be to something else. You know, I think we have so many addictions today that they're unbelievable. As a matter of fact, I teach the eighth grade. And what I do is I allow them to come in and play with their phones and their tablets for the first 5 minutes. And then I say, addiction sticks up. And they put them up, which is good. They know I give them a few moments and then it's over. But I believe that we have come in our society to the point that we're addicted to a lot of things that keep us from God using us. This freedom is a powerful, powerful freedom that comes by the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, either Jesus was lying or he was telling the truth. In the funeral service this past week of Billy Graham, I think it was Ann Graham Lott, said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. And she said that to millions of people all over the world. There's no compromise in the Christian faith. I'm sorry. Our love is extended to all men of all faiths, of all backgrounds, but our truth is not extended past He is the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to know that this truth, this Jesus, must be this way. Some people will say, well, how will I know that I have Jesus and this truth in my life? This is how you would know it. It is a personal relationship, not religious works. It comes from love and sacrificial love. Jesus is the center of it all. It is born by the Holy Spirit. And the fifth one, the Word of God, the message therein of Jesus is central in your life. One of the things that was said this past week about Billy Graham, and it said this, he said, every day, the last few years, my father, this is one of the children speaking, my father would have us come in and read the Word of God. At first, until the last year or so, maybe the last 2 years, we were reading 40 minutes of the Scriptures, and he would just sit and listen. That's what he wanted us to do as children, to come in and just read the Word of the living God. It became central to our family when we were children, and it's still central. As he got older, he could not listen longer than 5 or 10 minutes because of his age. And we understood the centrality of his life was around the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. And when you walk in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're walking in the truth. All other truth is a lie from Satan. Hear me. All other truth is a lie from Satan. And some of you are sitting there going, woo, I don't know if you can say that. Yes, I can. The truth that denies Jesus is not truth. The truth that ignores Jesus is not truth. It said in the Scriptures, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come from here, I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires, which is to rid everyone of the message of Jesus. And is that not a real big mantra in our society? Look, you want to have your faith? Go to your house and have it privately, but don't put it on the public eye. They want it rid from the eyes of the public. They want it rid from the eyes of people. My friends, there is no truth and there is no freedom outside of Jesus, and you cannot find it, not true freedom. All other religious practices that do not accept and promote Jesus and his truth are walking in a lie, and you do not have God the Father as your Father. Many who have adopted these lies or his truth must hear the truth of Jesus, and we are to carry it to them. I've had people, well, I might offend them. If I go around talking about Jesus, I might offend them. Well, we need to offend them into the kingdom of God instead of not offending them into hell. But we need to do it. We need to send them a letter of love, a letter in an envelope of love. We do not carry them a message of vindictiveness. We carry them a message of love. I look around at the religious world, and many have been brought here from around the world, and they are enslaved by their religions, not freeing. Women must wear burqas, and if they do not, their husbands have an opportunity or a right to punish them because it's offensive to them in the community, to the husband in the community. You hear about others who, if they even stop the practices of the home and their family, they are looked down on. They might be excommunicated from the family. I even have a book on my desk at home, which I'm reading, about a young man who his father tried to kill him when he found out he became a Christian. He took a gun and shot him at him all the way down the road, and he had to escape Egypt many years ago. On the other hand, I want you to know that Christ calls us to make the sacrifices for his kingdom. And in a world of fake religions, in a world of religious bigotry, that if you become a part of another faith, you pay a great price. God has called us to that. And he's called us to call other people to that. And you might say, how can I witness to somebody like that? See them leave their faith and come and then lose all they've got, because they gain everything. They might lose everything on this earth, but they gain the kingdom of God. You see, when you walk with Jesus, it's not like other religions that bind you and cause you to be a tyrant. In the funeral service, Ruth Graham, the daughter of Billy Graham, stood up and she said, "I want to give my testimony, and you will know about my father. He's a real Christian. You heard him preach, but I'm telling you, he's a real Christian." You see, I was married for 21 years to a man, and my marriage fell apart. We went through a divorce, and it was tough, and I struggled with it. Very soon after that, I ran into and met a divorcee, and he and I hit it off, and we started talking, marriage. We hadn't been dating long. My brothers and sisters decided they were going to talk to me, and they told me this was not a good idea at this time. And they didn't even know him, but this is not a good idea. And she said, they kept saying, this is too quick, it's like a rebound, you've got to take your time. And I said, no, I know what I'm doing. And she said, and then, by the way, this is going all over the world, she's telling this. She said, and then I decided on New Year's Eve to marry him. So I called my dad the day before, and he was overseas, And I called him, and he said, "Honey, could you just wait until I get back? We can talk, and I'd like to meet him and get to know him." And my mother said, "If you could just take time with this and just not be so quick with it, and let us get to know him." He said the same thing, and she said, "No, I decided I'm the one that's been through a divorce. I've been the one that's hurt. I know myself, and I'm close to God. I can do this." So she said, "I married him." Within a few hours, I knew I had made a terrible mistake. And within 5 months, my marriage came to an end. She said, "I wept for days." And she said, "I knew I needed to go talk with my dad." She says, "We call him Daddy. That's what we do in North Carolina. Everybody called Daddy." So we went to see Daddy. And she said, and it was a long drive, a two-hour drive. The whole way I was in great pain. And when I got to the mountain, Montreat, they lived on top of the mountain. When I started up the mountain, I was going, "Oh, God, what is he going to do? I have destroyed the reputation of my father. My father who brought us up." And the people will say, "Can you not even have a daughter that's divorced? You have struggled. You have messed up. And how will my father forgive me?" She said, "When I drove into the yard, he was standing in the yard. And he ran, as the prodigal son's father did. And he hugged me. He said, 'I love you.'" That's Christianity. Unbiased forgiveness. I want you to know, you will know the truth, and the truth is surrounded and enveloped by forgiveness and love. Unbelievable love. I don't care what you've done. God loves you. And that truth that Jesus shared on the cross, and by the way, when he was on the cross, he saw that divorce. When he was on the cross, he saw your sin. When he was on the cross, he saw my sin. And he died anyway. And he said, he wasn't just talking about the people that was crucified. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he was asking for forgiveness for you and me that day. That is the truth that we serve. That is the truth that we share. Ann Graham Lott said this. His other daughter, actually he had three. "I look at my father as Moses, who led millions of people to the promised land. But he couldn't take them in, for the Israelites, Joshua, took them in." And you know what the Hebrew word for Joshua is? Yeshua, Jesus. Moses just ended his life almost at 100 years of age. And God came down, Jesus came down and ushered him into heaven. She said, "I believe that when Moses left, it was time then for Jesus to come and to bring them into the promised land." He said, "This, I believe, is a shot over the bow for America. Jesus is coming. And with our Moses gone, is it not soon? We must become diligent with the word of the living God. We must become diligent with our witness. We must become diligent with those who do not even know that the religion or the practices or their truth is a lie from hell, and that they need the truth of the living God. We do not come at them to condemn them. Jesus said, "I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved." The very thing that would give mankind what they want, they continue to reject. Winston Churchill tried many times to be a leader in England. And constantly he was rejected. Do you guys not understand that Winston Churchill would be your deliverer? He was rejected for Neville Chamberlain, who came into power and botched the whole thing in England during World War II. And then finally, at 62 years of age, Winston Churchill was raised to position of power there in England and became the leader of England. And as prime minister, he became the hero of England. Yet he had time and time again, he was rejected. How many times? As a matter of fact, when he stood before all of the boys' college there in England, academy, one young man stood up and said, Winston Churchill, this was after World War II, said, Winston Churchill, tell us how you could be so successful and be such a great person when you failed so many times. And he said, never give up. Never, 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 never give up. And I think those words come to us from Jesus. I know that you know somebody who needs the love, the forgiveness, and the freedom of Jesus. And he's saying, I don't care how many times they've rejected it. Never, never, never give up. We are called to share the truth of the living God with those who need the freedom. How many times do we share it? Endless numbers of time. For we are called to be his people, to share the truth that will set men free. The world doesn't want to hear it. It's okay. Guess what? As long as I'm alive, they're going to hear it. Not in an arrogant way, but in a loving way. And I believe that God will honor all that we do as we stand in the truth of the living God. This morning, my question to you would be, do you stand in the way of the truth? Do you stand in the truth of the living God? Do you stand with Jesus? If you do not, you can come. I'll be standing here at the front, and as I'm standing here at the front, I give you the opportunity as we sing to make a commitment to Jesus, to walk in the truth, and to know freedom that you seek so desperately. If you are grounded in the truth of God, I pray that you would then make a decision this morning to share it with that person that God is laying on your heart right now. You know who they are. You know who they are. God is saying, I want you to go to that person right now. And I want you not to give up on them, because my spirit will continue with them until they come to freedom. Let us pray. Father, draw all of us into your presence. And if there's anyone outside of the presence of Jesus, I just pray that you might step into that freedom right now by repentance and accepting you as their Lord and Savior. Let the truth guide us. Let the truth be preeminent.